Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Breaking Chain's new show, History Talk, with Dr. Lavert Kemp. So turn the broadcast up and let's break chains in our history.
Good evening. This is Dr. Lavert Kemp with History Talk. Before we get off into our history, tonight I just want to give my deepest sympathy and condolence to those who have lost loved ones through COVID-19 and those who are in the hospital suffering from COVID-19, this pandemic that's affecting so many individuals. Also, I would like to just say something pertaining to those who need to follow up on tonight the debate with our president, President Donald Trump, who I say that loosely, and also Joe Biden, ex-Vice President Joe Biden. I would just like to say I've been just appalled at the hypocrisy of the GOP in not campaigning for anybody, but yet I've been really appalled by the hypocrisy of the GOP. In 2016, when President Barack Obama, not a month or a few weeks before the election, but they would not vote or confirm a candidate. They wanted to wait almost a year to let another president get in, but now the shoe is on the other feet, but they want to rush through the young lady now to be a Supreme Court justice, which you only leave through death. I see so much hypocrisy. I haven't seen such a weak political party as the Republican Party is. And I like to say that, and I'm not saying that loosely, but I would just like to say in the history that I realize at being 68 years old, I remember President Eisenhower. I remember a lot of presidents from in the past, but I've never seen a president act the way that this president. I've never seen a House and a Senate just cater into every whim that a person said, knowing that the person that they're following is a bigot, misogynist, xenophobic, narcissist person. That he's working on about, it's over 20,000, so I guess he's working on 25 to 30,000 lies that he told in going on 4 years. Everything come out of his mouth has been a lie. He said that about his fake news about his tax reports that's out now. Now you're saying he paid his money and the tax breaks that he took was legal. But he's trying so hard to stay in because that's the Northern District or the Southern District of New York is going to try him. We'll try our president once he's out of office. He can be tried for all the criminal things that he's done. I've never seen a group of people, and I say hypocrisy, hypocritical, that with a man could say he grabbed a lady by her vagina, and this is the president out of his mouth. He paying ladies for sex. This is knowledge. This has been proven fact that he you watch him say things out of his mouth. But if it was any other president, they would be in trouble. They would be in trouble. Presidential candidacy, but it would be coming to an end. But not this guy. This guy, he he locked kids up in cages, and he called Mexican rapists and drug dealers, and the people are some of the most hardest working individuals in our country who take jobs that no one else wants. A lot of jobs that no one else wants. But yet he called them different things. These are some hardworking individuals. African Americans have been taking some of the lower jobs, and he talks about them that call African American countries S-hole countries. S-H-I-T, whole countries. And he even talked about John, the part of the area which John Lewis represent, that that area was like a slum. Knowing all the time that systemic racism have set it up for different African American communities to be slum or ghettos, and it's just not the Europeans. It's Jews too. Have said help perpetrate that, the so-called Jews help perpetrate this thing to keep blacks in the servitude and to keep blacks with the lower paying job where they can't afford to take care of themselves by not having a decent minimum wage where a person won't live in poverty. $7.25 an hour is poverty, but not one of those senators or congressmen or representatives would dare accept a salary as that, as many people do. These are things that we must address. There are things that's going to be, that will be said today coming up. There are things that's going to be said tonight coming up on it, and we need to pay close attention to it. And I just want to say this. I'm not a racist at all, but I listen at so many things that I hear some of our people who can be just barred, turned against their own people, who says Trump is all good. I had an email from one of my friends and had this black guy on, and he was talking about all the accomplishments and all the things that Donald Trump have did for us. He was saying about the job situation. I don't see the jobs. I'm a pastor of church. I don't see any progress. Say that you seeing more on your check. Yes, I do see. I do. The people will see more on their check. And it's because that they take less out for federal taxes now. But when it comes in January, you have to pay it back, because it hurts your income tax. So it's like a bait and switch situation. And why are we so naive, both blacks and white, are so naive to what he's doing? If I allow you to get it on this end, that send your earned income up, so you have to pay more taxes. It's like this guy is a dummy, and he's playing with everybody as if we are dummies. I don't see it. They says that when he took office, whether it was the GDP or the unemployment rate, whether it was down to what 4.6, it was over 11 when President Obama came in, and we was in a depression, and we were going through a depression, and so many people had lost jobs, and with the auto industry was going bankrupt, and airlines, they had Wall Street. Just everything was turned upside down by the same principle that President Trump is using, what sent America into a recession. It started with President Ronald Reagan. It's called trickle-down economics. You give the tax breaks and incentives to those 1% on the top, and they're supposed to hire more people and build larger businesses and expand their businesses, and they would hire more people. And the effect would trickle down by them hiring more people. Well, the same way it went with President Reagan and it went with President Bush. The people took their businesses overseas, and some of them gave themselves raises and bought more stock into their own business. And they didn't hire more people. So this is something that our President Trump have done. And he gave the billionaires and the multimillionaires, they got tax breaks. It's just been found out that in the last couple of years he's supposed to be a billionaire, multi-billionaire, but he's only paid $750 worth of income tax. I'm retired and they take more than that from myself. I don't understand why America could allow a cheap, not intelligent con man to come over them. I know one thing that America, the systemic racism is so broad in America. I know racism is built in the fiber of America. That's why people are following him, because he has a drum beat. When he talk about going to the cities and sending troops, and he's talking about locking people peaceful protests. Now you'll find out that some of the ones that were burning in different cities in Minnesota and other cities were not people protesting, but they were white supremacy, and they were doing that. In other words, they were doing these things that it would be blamed on the blacks and they would really, really suffer. So now with that said, we have to understand that it's a trick. You've seen him take photo ops, and these things people are overlooking all the things that he said. They're not getting more jobs. And I want you to follow me, if you will. I said earlier that, remember these numbers, 4.6 was the employment rate that was dropping. So now it's about 3.6 or something like that now. Well, that's only one point. If President Obama moved it down about 8 or 9 points, about 8.7 points down, and you have 4 years and you've only moved it to one point down, something is wrong. The job rate that he said that he got when he came in, that the job rate was higher than it had been, and he just caught the wave when he came in. The first couple of years he was in, he was riding the wave of job thing from President Barack Obama. So he tried to steal every accomplishment from President Obama or do it away, so it means as if this man never exists. But there's so much at stake with this coming up, and I would just admonish everyone to go out and vote. And I submit to you tonight that it's so imperative that we go up and vote, because this guy owed people $400 and something million, a little bit less than a half of a billion dollars. To foreign countries, this man could be compromised. They're talking about how easily he can be compromised and give away secrets. He already gave some secrets that Israel gave when he first took office. The people that he's had, so many of the people, I don't know if it's 18, it was so many people that he fired, or either they're going to prison, that he say drain the swamp. Well, he's the swamp. He is the head nastiest alligator in the swamp. Drain the swamp. All the people so many of the people that he hired, that he had running, they're in prison. And then the ones that couldn't take it and had a heart, they stepped down and resigned. You have so many generals that said they can't vote for him, telling America, don't vote for the guy. You have so many people right now, they're telling you, don't do it. America, open your eyes. It's time for a change. And I want to say this. I was reading this article that this African-American guy said, I told my friend, who was a very studious person, he went in, he's Caucasian, but he wanted me to review the things that he said about true African history. Well, he wanted to start off by saying blacks sold blacks into slavery. Partial truth. Through war and attrition of different wars, different African tribes did sell other tribes captured from this into slavery. Then the same people that the Portuguese that they were selling them to came with guns, and the same people that was same tribe that was selling them into slavery, they started kidnapping the king's son and everybody and other people from there. They were just raided and take them and bring them into slavery. Why buy them from these people? They don't have guns, and we could raid their villages and take it. The Arabs did the same thing. Some of the top people that needed slavery were Jews, the so-called Jews, the Eskenazi, the ones from Portuguese, the Serfdom. They were some of the main ones that started with cotton plantation. This is history. You can look it up. They owned all the banks all around the South, and they had things where they were located, where they were helped buying slaves. Well, the guy wanted to use that, but as I looked over it, I said, well, he's not telling the truth. A lot of the slaves were kidnapped and villages pillaged and people killed and brought so many over here. But nonetheless, he was saying the fact. But what he was adding up to, he said that the Republicans freed the slaves. And I listened at him, and I thought about what he was saying. And let me tell you, that's true. Republicans did free the slaves. But then, a little bit later, they end up being the one perpetrating the racist now. They started off good. You know, when somebody start off good, but it's the end of bad. Now, if I'm gonna say some things, and I hope people are not sharp when I say this, but I want you can Google it. And Barack Obama wasn't the first African Americans, black president. All you have to do is Google and ask whether or not did Abraham Lincoln have African bloodline in his ancestry. You could ask about also the white David Eisenhower. There are others. You could ask about President John F. Kennedy's wife. She had it in her grandmother, great-grandmother, was an African. But it was not said. All they had to do was pass for it, and it's been hidden. But I submit to you right now, whenever you have an opportunity, ask whether or not Abraham Lincoln's father, not his father, but did he, his ancestor, were any one of those African or black? Ask the same thing for Eisenhower, and you're going to find out, yes. Now this is stuff, but anyway, the guy was writing about that, like, and this is a black guy, okay, and that the Republicans are so good for African-American because they freed the slave. Now, right after we were freed, now, we were never really brought to be like you was a citizen, but they so-called the freeing of the slave, where a slave never was really free. Because if you free a person and you let a person go, beware do the person go when a person been away from their homeland 200, 300 years? Where will you go when you don't know how to speak the language from where you come from? Where will you go when you don't know where you came from? Where will you go when you don't have any money? Where will you go when you don't have anywhere to stay? Where will you go when Caucasians will kill you when you leave the plantation? The clans and other white group races. Where are you going to go? So they stayed on the plantation as sharecroppers. Now, they passed the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, said they're free to slaves, but they had a Part B to it that said that if they ever got in any trouble, that they could be put back into servitude and work for free. And they would put blacks into prison, but they would hire them out as slaves to work on plantation for free. And a whole lot of this was controlled. You can look it up with control by people who called themselves Jews. Now, going back in that, and I was thinking about it, so I wrote to answer the person's question about what he was saying. Yes, they did start off. But that same time, another Republican governor came in office. I mean, not governor, but president came in after Lincoln. And he pulled the Union troops away from the South. The Klans, or the more people got lynched and burned and beat. So you couldn't leave the plantation. You were afraid to leave it because for being killed. If you had moved and you had a little land, they came and ran you off. So you end up going back into what you would call, and this is how a whole lot of the plantation owners and a whole lot of the people of Jewish persuasion got rich. If you own the plantation, this is what was done. They would take and have the store on the plantation. You would work in their fields, planting and harvesting time. So you work for them. You're the sharecropper. You work for them, and they paid you a little something to work for them. But you bought everything from their store. So you gave the money right back to them, and by the time you came up and asked for pay, they said you owed them money because you couldn't read, you couldn't count. You had to go back to what the old people say, oh, Massa, well, he said that this is what was owed. And now this is the truth. I could tell you some truth about that because it happened in my family. My grandfather was born 1867. People want to know, how did this man know mathematics? He did the math for the plantation owners. He was a brown-skinned man, but he did the math. He told them how much money they were supposed to get. He told them if they sell so many tons, how much the cotton would be worth, how much the sugar cane would be worth. So he was the one that did that. But now listen what happened. The other people in the late 18 and the early 20s, and it happened about in the 40s when they blinded, he was telling the sharecroppers they were complaining about they worked so hard and they had gardens in the yard. Some of them had their own chicken and some of them were putting together getting cow, if they pig, they slaughter. And they began to share. And they would share the meat, they would share that. So when they worked, they didn't have to go to get bacon. They didn't have to go. They was using the fat off animals to make lard to cook with. Well, they made devised schemes that they could do to really be self-sufficient so they wouldn't depend on the store. Well, the people, since they couldn't count, they couldn't read, they didn't want them doing things, they would in return, tell the people, like, look, you guys owe me. And so they never was really getting paid. And my grandfather, being a person with some kind of way, he was educated because he was their accountant. He told them, bring the books to him, and he would add up and tell them how much to tell the plantation owner who he worked for. He was their accountant, how much they owe him. Well, the plantation owners and some of the other younger white guys got angry. They found him riding in his wagon on the field. They beat him and blind him. This is true history. All because he was telling them that the people were stealing their money from them. So don't tell me, and this is when the Republicans pull out. The Republicans did a 360, not to say anything so good about. Let me explain something to you. To me, the Democrats, it's a difference between day and night with the Democrats and the Republicans, further as for African Americans and helping the poor. But I would submit to you that it's been 155 years since slavery ended, and blacks still haven't received equal rights. I don't care if it's Democrats in office. I don't care whether it's Republicans. But we still haven't reached something that could have happened overnight. And that's white supremacy. America is rooted in white supremacy. Cotton. Cotton financed America for 200 years. Case in point, cotton was what oil is today. Oil is what the largest gatherer of money you could get to come off oil. Back in the 1700s, 1800s, it was cotton. Cotton was king. You could make your clothes. You could wove it, and you could make textile, and you could work the stuff in factories and things that people had to use it up north. They used it in the south. And the Jews exploited it by opening up banks to finance for slavery. Cotton plantations. They made mega bucks off of it. The Rothschilds. Oh, you didn't hear what I just said. So many of them made so much money off of it. But these are things that historically you can find this out. Historically you can find that out. It's all written. It's been throughout history. We wonder why whites never wanted blacks to learn to read. And it's more than one reason. They never wanted you to know who you really are, your true identity. They never wanted you to think of yourself as being intelligent person. And by not allowing you to learn to read, they made you believe that you are ignorant. But when you have to learn another person culture, another person language, you're not ignorant or dumb. You just don't understand what the person whatever they ask you to do, you don't understand it. But I submit to you, from the time slaves got here in 1600s, up until in the 1900s, blacks built America. They had black carpenters. You know, Michelle Obama said it best. She said two black Africans who are living in a white house that blacks built. No one ever could tell her she was lying because it was built by slaves. The slave built a plantation. The slave planted it. They cultivated it. They harvested. They built America, the railroads, bridges. During that time, that work was given to slaves. So when someone called African Americans or blacks lazy, what, you're angry because they don't want to work for free anymore, and they're understanding their worth now, and you want to get paid, or we complain too much? I don't hear you saying that that the Jew people that call themselves Jew complain about the Holocaust or being mistreated. But if the indigenous people complain, if African American complain, if other people complain, it's okay. But I find it strange that you could come from China, you could come from Europe, you could come from Japan and other countries around the world, even Arab countries. You could come here and America would take care of you and help you get on your feet. And yet the people that built this country with blood, sweat, and tears built this country, financed this country, you won't give us nothing. Won't even give us what you owe us for 250 years of servitude, working from sun up to sundown. You won't even get reparation. And they want to say that President Trump is good for blacks. How can you be good? You raise bait right now. You raise bait with the KKK. What have the Republicans did for America, for blacks? Nada. Now Eisenhower, he wasn't president at the time, but he wasn't that good of a person. He was in World War II, but General Dwight David Eisenhower was there with a separated army, which my father fought in World War II, and he could tell some stories pertaining to it, the mistreatment. And then I heard a lot of other things, and certain things that they televised how blacks would ride in cattle cars, and the German prisoners could ride up in the regular coach, but blacks would ride back with cattle. You get home from fighting a war, and thousands of blacks died fighting in World War II, but you had to get on the back of the bus. You couldn't eat in certain places, separate water fountains. So, and I want to say this, the next time you ever hear our president or any white person ever tell you that blacks, you know, he want to say that Colin Kaepernick, you know, when he say that we're not loyal to the country, and this says the most loyal person to this country is African American. We're the only race that had to go out and fight and come back and be called the N-word, not be paid what others are paid, had to go to the back of the bus, arrested for anything. Couldn't eat it could work in places, but you couldn't eat there. Different hospitals you couldn't go to. So it's so many things that we've done, and they're talking about loyalty to a country. We've been loyalty to a country that was never loyal to us, and it's even going on today. I laugh sometimes when I think about when it says, talk about it, because people talk very highly of President Ronald Reagan, the Republican president. Ronald Reagan wasn't a president that was astute at all. But now he brought crack cocaine into the urban areas, into the inner city, and sold it and made the money they made off of bringing it in. He helped finance the Iran-Contra affair. Talking about the war. When they came out and found out what happened, Oliver North took was the fall guy. He took the blame. And so it's so many things that we're looking at today, and that's why when I hear blacks talking about a Republican Party, you're taking care of a party that don't care anything about you. All the Republicans care about is rich folk. And those poor whites who follow them, I'm amazed that they have to be racist, because you need to take side with the African Americans, because the poor get poorer, the rich get richer, and the poor get poor. The word conservative means to stay the same. So if you're poor, you're going to stay poor. If you're rich, you're going to get rich. So this is something that we need to this is something that we need to look into. And why would any person know that Kentucky and Virginia and other places where coal mines at, instead of their coal coming back, it dwindled. But people still talking about Trump. He haven't delivered on the goods that he's talking about. He haven't really built a wall. He restructured part of the wall. I don't think he built a new part. I don't know if he built 8 miles of the new. They say he went back and the other parts are old parts of the wall. So I'm just amazed that when they talk about people going to war and Colin Kaepernick taking a knee. Well, Colin Kaepernick took a knee, and that's within the Constitution. But they just continue to show Black America that the Constitution does not stand for us. The first thing to the Constitution is the freedom of speech and protest. He did a peaceful protest by bowing down, and he spoke out against police brutality and killing African Americans. That's all he did, and he got blackballed for making millions of dollars playing sports. I don't like them to say about things are getting so good for Blacks, because when they say that, they're saying if you play football, baseball, basketball, something like that, that's what make the money. The other fields you still partially shut out of to make it. I don't know too many Blacks that CEO of a Fortune 500 companies. So when I hear them talk about how America is for Blacks, America never was a pro-Black, pro-African American. Now, I don't have any way back to go to. I don't know where I came from. I could trace my roots back to the mid-1700s, right in America. And if a white person would ever ask me to go back to Africa where I come, I would ask them, go back to the slums of Europe where you came from. Because 2-1, my people were here before yours ever came to America. And then if I want to go back and just be honest with them and give them their own books and their own pictures and show you some Native America, and those Native Americans looked Black. They were Black. All you have to do, they have some 1,800 pictures of different ones that they took. And then when you want to look back and find out words we hear, you look up the Olmec people, the OL-MEC, and you'll find out that Africans were in America thousands of years before Columbus ever came this way, before the Leif Erikson came this way. And Leif Erikson came here, the first group of people that came from the European parts of the country, from Europe, were the Vikings, and that was Leif Erikson. But he came around Nova Scotia, Canada, but now later on, Amerigo Vespucci, he came to. That's who America's named after. Columbus never discovered America. That's another thing about the lies of history that were perpetrated with white supremacy. And it was perpetrated to keep you thinking that you're nobody. That's the only way that they could keep you in servitude and keep you doing the work that they don't want to do, was to make you believe that you were a dummy and that you never did anything. And the total propagation of it is even going on today. If you ever see a picture of Africa, they show you people half naked with all kind of things on, and they don't show you that there are large cities. They don't tell you that in the Sudan that there are more pyramids in the Sudan than there was in Egypt. But at the same time, with that, Egypt was black. They've turned Egypt to be white. That's the Europeans have did this, had painted anything that's civilized and that was above them that they know that they couldn't do. And go back thousands of years ago when in Africa they were living in stone houses and building colleges and things. Some of the whites still was in caves. But they say that we're behind. No, he who write the narrative make the people be who they want them to be. I often say that in America, and I explain to you what I mean by in America, and I'm going to go back many thousands.
But if you would leave a brief message and your name in the time of your call, I will.
And I thank God for that. It's been corrected. But I was saying that different things have been propagated for so many years by making everything white that meant anything, and that everything that they took, everything that blacks have done, and they never gave us credit for building America. We, like I said earlier, we build the plantation houses, we build the White House. We helped build all this many years ago, and I find something odd today. When I grew up in the 60s, really, but in the real late 50s and 60s, because I was born in 51, and that I remember blacks were the ones that were cement finishers and bricklayers building and carpenters building houses and things. They're working on the interstate. Because my father was one, and he worked on the interstate. And I would watch all these black guys out here building the infrastructure. But today, it's mainly Mexicans that's out doing it now. Blacks are not taking the trade where they could work for themselves, such as carpenters and masonry and drywall and many other things. We were able to build and add on to our own home. And so we're going to have to get back to those things that we were always craving. That in Africa, I was saying, people in Africa really had brick houses, well, not stone. They built them out of stone before whites, while whites were still living in caves. I said it earlier, that they still they had stone structures, high-rise colleges. They had buildings 40 stories high, and they had other buildings 20 and 15, 8 stories high. In Africa, they had walls longer than the Great Wall of China. But you could Google it and ask, where in Africa do they have a wall that's longer than the Great Wall of China? You could find this out, but if you're dark, they hold something against you. But I submit to you, there's a reason why they want to keep the so-called black man, the dark man, down. The next time one of them tell you something about your skin color, tell them you're their daddy. I'm your father. See, and if they don't understand, you explain to them that you know genetics. And when you tell them you know genetics, if they're anywhere astute or have any type of education and went to college and took botany or biology, they know what you're talking about. If they are an avid reader, they know what you're talking about. They know that you're telling them the truth. that the original man was a dark-skinned black man from around the Sudan in Africa. That's where life, that's where it all originated from. And oftentimes when I first open up, I talk about it because it's so important for us to understand these things that I'm saying, because this would build up our own self-esteem once we understand that that were metal urge and we were making copper and steel masses and weaponry before they was making them in Europe. Before the Romans had chariots, the Syrians had chariots. The Egyptians had chariots before the Romans had it. Everything was gold plated and made out of bronze and all different things in Africa, not just in not only in Egypt, but all in West Africa, they were able to do it. But that's not given to you. That's not being taught to our children. They, whenever they show white kids, they always show white kids that Africa is this place so far behind them. I would submit to you to just Google and ask for some of the large cities in Africa and look at them. They're comparable to any large city in America. Now I could take you up in the mountains in Tennessee and in Kentucky and Carolina and Virginia, where the hillbillies live, and that's as worse as living in a jungle. But when they show America, they show a beautiful city. They don't show how run down different things are. If they show it run down, they show where blacks live is run down, and they'll say, like, we ran it down. No. You put us where you redlined us and put us where you don't want to live. You put us in something. Then you give us low pay so we can never finance our way out of it. Let's be for real. But getting back what I was talking about earlier, when I was telling you, tell them that you are their father, I'm going to explain something to you. The earliest skeletal remains that were found came from Africa. In Ethiopia in 1974, they found what they call Lucy, Australopithecus. And it was only when Don Johansson and Tom Gray was looking for rocks. Now you have to understand that they were paleontologists. They're hunting for rocks and things like that. They're archaeologists too, and they're looking for different things, and they found a skeleton. And they call that skeleton Lucy. Now the skeleton, and it's the closest relevant to like a human being. It looks like a human, and it was 3.18 million years old. That's what it dated back to be. Now, also, you could go back and you could look up, and when you're looking up, just look up Don Johansson and Tom Gray, discovery of Lucy, Australopithecus. And if you want to look it up, you look it up, and then you'll find out what I'm giving you as facts, and that's Australopithecus, Australopithecus, Lucy, the Australopithecus. Now, understand the fossils that were found, and the oldest fossil to man known, was always going to be found in East Africa. And another two other individuals, husband and wife team, who were paleontologists, was Lewis and Mary Douglas Leakey. Now, Lewis Leakey, he was born around 1913, but most of his years he grew up in Africa. But now, he found
discovered the phrase fossil, what they call proconsul skull. Now, this is was an extinct ape, which is now believed to be the ancestor of humans. And then that was Mary Leakey, but they also discovered Zanzanthropus, a skull they found in the O.D. Gorge in Tanzania. And when you say Zanzanthropus, that deals with Northeast Africa or East Africa. And they found certain archaeological discoveries where people live around Tanzania in the O.D. Gorge. And they found fossils and they found different artifacts where during their excavation that told them that all these years, so many hundreds of thousand years ago, that people were making arrowheads, they had stone tools. So this is nothing that came back that was long before out of Africa happened. Out of Africa came when the so-called people that end up went through a mutation that ended up living in Europe. The Europeans are nothing but a black man that went through a mutation and lost their melanin. And you can look up the term of a mutation and see, and I'm getting to something now. And what I want to tell you is that to find out where you come from and where did man came from, you find out your mother, you have DNA from your mother and your father. You get your X, a female get their double X chromosome from their mother. A female have two X chromosomes, and a man or male have XY chromosomes. But now, when you add that together, you can find out where the original people, where they lived and where they came from. And so now, when they were doing that, they found, they were trying to trace back the DNA of from the maternally heritage. And they found out the mitochondrial DNA within our cells is carried in all humans, have theoretical common ancestors, that every, I don't care what color you are, what continent you live on, if it's Asia, if it's Africa, if it's South America, North America, if it's a European continent, everybody, all people theoretically have a common ancestor. Now this woman, which is the common ancestor to all human beings, was found in Africa. Her name is called Mitochondria Eve. And Mitochondria Eve would have been about 200,000 years ago in South Africa. She was not, now don't get me wrong, it's not that she was the first human, but every other female lineage, eventually, they didn't have offspring, they didn't have children, or failed to pass on their mitochondria DNA. As a result to that, now listen at me closely. As a result to that, all humans today can trace their mitochondrial DNA back to Mitochondria Eve. Within her DNA and that of her peers, those before her, exists all the genetic variations that we see in contemporary humans since the time of Eve. And in essence, what it's saying, no matter where you came from, or where you are, or what race or nationality you came, a black lady in Africa, what they call Mitochondria Eve. See, the different population of humans have drifted apart genetically, forming distinct ethnic groups, as well as even today. But one thing for sure, even though they drifted apart, they still carry that mitochondria, that DNA line that goes back to the lady, the black woman, Mitochondria Eve, that was found in Africa. And it was found that it happened, this skull skeletal remains they found was over 200,000 years ago. Now, before I go too further, much further with it, if you read your history, you'll find out what they call out of Africa and how people got in Europe. It was 70,000 years ago. Some say 70, some say 80,000 years ago. And that it's called out of Africa. The people left looking one way, and as time passed through, if you look up a mutation, it could come by a diet, through your genetics. It could come through climate change or where you're living. Different things could send you through a mutation. And so when these Africans left and went up into Europe, they went through what they call a mutation. And their hair turned a certain way, their skin color got lighter, and they turned to really what you would call an albino. Those of you who are familiar with albinism is, you will find out that they have albino alligators. They have albino horses. All of them are white. And the regular horse is supposed to be brown or black, but if they're albino, they're white horses. If an alligator is gray, but if he's albino, he's white. They're albino rhinos, albino tigers, because they lost some form of their genetics is downgraded. That's when I'm talking about things like that. I'm trying to tell you that they are mutants. Okay, let me explain something to you. If you ever hear about Dr. Gregor Mendel, Gregor Mendel was the top botanist, and I'm going to just give you this information, and I want you to look up the people, and this is something I really want you to do. If I say something, I have the information to bag up what I say is. Now, his name was Gregor Mendel, G-R-E-G-O-R, Mendel, M-E-N-D-E-L. And he's a scientist. He studied the science of genetics. Now, Mendel will let you know about the mutation. And as I said, if you find a purebred horse, he's going to be brown or black, and it's classified as a thoroughbred. But once you get a white horse, it's no more than an albino. Okay, Gregor Mendel, the science of genetics, he made this say the dominant, there are two type genes. There's a dominant gene and there's a recessive gene. Black and brown skin is dominant. Light skin or white skin is recessive gene. Okay? Mutations are from the recessive genes are mutations. Whites are Caucasian have a recessive gene. Blue eyes, that's why you don't find many people with blue eyes, because blue eyes come from recessive genes. It's DNA is a genetic mutation, okay? Brown eyes are dominant. Brown skin or dark skin is dominant. Light skin is recessive. Now, to prove the point, this is what Mendel's law states, that you could get the recessive from the dominant, meaning you could get a albino child. You could get a child that looked white, they come from the two darkest people in Africa. The two darkest people in the darkest Africa can produce an albino or white child, but two whites cannot produce a black child. See, you could get the recessive from the dominant, but you can't get the dominant from the recessive. That's why in America they said if you had a 32nd of your bloodline were black, you were black, because you cannot get the recessive, the dominant from the recessive, but you could get the recessive from the dominant. There's no way that you could do that. Now, when you're looking at that, Mendel's law, Mendel talked about different areas that that dealt with being the dominant and the recessive in Mendel's law. Mendel was talking about, he had, it was three different areas he talked about. But before I get into those three areas, I want to talk about this. Now, the word mutation is described as a mutation is a change of the structure of genes resulting in a variant form that may be transmitted subsequent generation caused by alteration of single base units in DNA or the deletion, insertion, or arrangement of a large section of gene. Mutation is ultimately the only way in which new variation enters species. And so that's the only way whites entered the world, through a mutation. That's the only way Europeans came out with the skin color they did, through a mutation. And that's the thing that we need to understand. See, the modern human established themselves in Africa. Smaller populations branched out and established their footage in Asia before they even spread it to Europe later on, and that was like 7,000 years ago. Now, that was 70,000 years ago. So when we're dealing with things like from that era, we have to understand that these things that have been taught to us and to our children have no validity, really, to express why they do what they do. Mendel was talking about, one of Mendel's laws was talking about inheritance, and that when whites had left and went to Europe and they inherited that color from this, and what happened was they were only dealing with people of that were albino, and the albino started producing, and it was inherited through their lineage to pick up albinoism. And now you get albino, and then it was talking about separation. When they separated themselves and they were only around albinos, they produced albino children. And that's the law of separation. The first was heritage. And then when you find that they came and they started interbreeding with others, it's about the separation and things. They came and later on they start interbreeding with others. So now when you look those other points up, you'll find out that they are not the original people, that Africans are our original people who God first created. He created them in the cradle of civilization was Africa. And it's time and what's so ironic about it is white folk know it. White folk know it. And if you allow them to show you different books that they've written on genetics, if you allow them to teach you from different books that they have about archaeology, all you have to do is look up. I told you about Australopithecus, and I told you about Lucy, but then I would tell you to look up Zinzanthropus, and that's Zinjanthropus, Zinzanthropus, and it'll lead you to the Odiv Gorge, and that's in Tanzania. That's a little south of around the Sudan area. And there they did some excavation, and you're going to find some of the earliest fossils would be found there. And it's something that we should be able to really, really think about. Even in the religious belief we have, we need to be careful with what we allow people to teach us about our religious faith, what color were the people. And well, we need to not allow people to tell us that the original God, the people that God called, which were Hebrews, not Jews, but Hebrews, because the people that's there today, I would submit to you, they wouldn't have the Israelite blood wouldn't be a Shemite. I know for a fact that through time, and in case you don't know, that when they came off of Japheth, that Noah had Shem, Ham, and Japheth, or Japheth. And your Caucasian race, really, the people that's over in the Holy Land today are really from Japheth. They're not from Shem. And if you look, and that means that the only way that you could be a Hebrew is that you come off the lineage of Shem, and that's biblical. Now, there's been so many things that people have mistaught us and told us things, and we listen at it, and it's not true. We take everything, we go to the Pope and the Vatican, but now believe me, the Pope know, and the Vatican, they have two pictures of what color Christ was, and the Black Madonna and things like that they worship. But they don't bring it out to others because they won't let you know who you are. Okay, and, you know, we wonder about slavery, about and the slavery thing and things like that, and we often wonder what type of man would do something like this. Well, that was a referendum signed to make slavery okay, was did by Pope Nicholas VI. The Pope, that's, you know, I know we have a lot of good Catholics and things, but that's who did that. And I want you to understand, too, you know, we call people white people. Well, the people were never called white until they came to America. And that was about 1880 or 1861. They were first, everybody was called where you came from, your continent. You were called a European if you come from Europe. You were called an African if you came from Africa. You the Chinaman if you came from China. You the Japanese if you came from Japan. But now is I'm a white man. That is to separate yourself from being an African American indigenous person. Another thing that should be familiar is that the people that's over in the Holy Land today, that I've been saying this and I say it over and over, this is with all my heart and all my studying that I've done, that they're not the original Hebrews, that they're no more the nomadic people that America and others put in the land. I know for a fact by the term they go by Eskenaz, Khazar, and Serpenim. I know that the Eskenaz come from around Russia and Lithuania. And Eskenaz is one of the grandsons of Japheth, meaning the white race, not from the Shemite. Khazar, then if you study the book of Esther, you'll find in the 8th chapter where that when Mordecai and them were prisoners in the land of Turkey, around Turkey, they call it Persia then, that they went in and the king allowed them to build an army, and they went into war in Haman, and they killed a lot of people, and the people, they say, and the people took on the religion of the Jews. Now, these people were from Persia, but they started believing in the Jewish religion because of the victory, and that's your Khazar, because most of your Khazar come from north of Persia or Turkey. That's your Khazar, and your Serpenim are no more than Portuguese, Spaniards, and so no, they're not of the bloodline of Hebrew of Abraham. They're not the seed of Jacob. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. And the chosen people of God are Israelites, and they are Israelites, and they are the chosen one, the 12 tribes of Israel, not just Judah. So when we started studying the Bible, learned to read the Bible for what it's worth. I often always tell people, when you're looking up things, just, now this is a white Bible dictionary, but and I want you to understand that Noah that survived the flood, it was Noah and his wife. His sons, he had his son with Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay, and their two wives. So eight individuals made it through the flood by the Bible. But now, when you look up Ham, supposed to be, by Bible standard, the black man. Now, when I look up Zondervan, I'm telling you, Zondervan is Caucasian, Compact Bible Dictionary, okay? And I looked up the definition of Ham, and it said the youngest son of Noah, born probably about 96 years before the flood, and one of eight persons to live through the flood. He became the progenitor of the dark race. And then they talk about being an Egyptian. Egyptian were black. And they also talk about Ethiopian were black, Libyan were black, and Canaan. And Canaan is the Canaan land, is where the Holy Land is, Jerusalem today. But what the important fact that he said, but not the Negro. So if the Negro is not Japheth, and the Negro is not from Ham, the Negro is the Shemites. And then I did some further study, and I wanted to know where Abraham came from, or the Chaldees, Mesopotamia. And I started looking carefully at that, if he came from that, and I wanted to know something. And when I started researching, I found out that a race of people lived there about 400,000 years ago, and the people were called Sumerians. Sumerians. The people were called Sumerians. And when I was looking that up about the Sumerians, I'm going like, okay, I found out that these people are called Sumerians. Well, I Googled it to find out 4,000 or 5,000 years ago what color would the Sumerians have been. And don't you know, as strange as it came, that the Sumer were Semitic people, and their color were charcoal, with stout noses, chocolate or charcoal, with stout noses mean stout, thick noses. And only one people I know that charcoal or chocolate, that's from an average, that's where Abraham came from. But then I thought about the Bible had called that same place the land of Nimrod. And when I thought about it, Nimrod was Ham's grandson. So I understood, then I understood what it meant. And then I even looked further into it, and I'm about to round everything out now. I was wondering, and I was going through historical things and trying to find out who are the real Hebrews, who are the original Hebrews, and I found that the Sumerians were Semitic people, but they were chocolate or charcoal color, and they had the thick noses, and I knew that they were of African descent. And then I found out what it meant, that Abraham were black, and I had to realize why Joseph, and they said that Ham was a progenitor of the black race or the dark race, and it was talking about the Egyptians. And then I thought about it. Joseph passed for Egyptian. Moses passed for Egyptian. Even Apostle Paul passed for Egyptian in Acts, the 21st chapter and the 38th verse. The Romans thought that the Apostle Paul was an Egyptian. All of this is in your Bible. This is nothing I'm making up. These are true facts that's coming straight from your Bible. And then the president of Egypt in 1952 on national television told you what color the real Hebrews were. And he was telling, and this is 4 years after they had gave the land over to the so-called Jews, the people there, it was 4 years. They were put on the land in 1948. They gave them a homeland, and that's over in the country now, that what we call the Holy Land. Well, they were placed there by America, France, I think Great Britain, and Russia, and gave them a homeland. They were not originally from there. But listen at what Gamal Abdel Nasser said. And you can look this up. You can Google this up. Gamal, that's G-A-M-A-L, Abdel, A-B-D-E-L, Nasser, N-A-S-S-E-R. And you look up and ask about his speech in 1952. The second president of the United Arab Republic of Egypt. This man says that we, the Arab League, refuse to accept these Hebrew-speaking Gentiles. How can a man leave black and come back white? We refuse to accept them. Now, what he's saying, that these are not the real Jews. These are not the real Israelites. They could speak Hebrew. They're Gentiles. They're other. How could they leave black as black people and come back as white people? And the Arab folks say they refuse to accept them. So now as we look into things, I want us to be cognizant of these things and understand you don't know who you are, and it's time we start picking up books and start reading. It's time we start reading. It's time we start researching. It's time we find out who we really are. My friend, Pastor William, always he make a statement, who we are and whose we are. And it's time that we look that up and find out. It's time we pick up books and read. A book could take you, you could travel the world with a book. You could find out who you are and whose you are. You could find out so many things about yourself through a book. And so I want you to understand it's time that we start picking up books. We need to get out and vote, and we need to get rid of the president that we do have now, and we need new leadership because we don't have a leader. And this president we have today, we don't have a real leader. We have a shyster, a con man, and not a very smart, intelligent con man, but we have a con man that only think of himself and making money. He don't care who live or who die. Have no love for America at all, no loyalty to the country. He refused to go into the military, but yet he has sent people into harm's way, a bone spur. Amen. God bless you. This is, if we have any comments or anyone would like to add something, ask a question, I stand by.
God bless you, Pastor. Thank you for a wonderful show. We're opening up the lines now, 858-357-9137. Those that are standing by, if you'd like to have a comment, ask a question of Dr. Kemp, the line is open for you now. God bless you and welcome to the show. The line is open. Okay, Pastor, seems like none of them wants to talk, but thank you for listening out there. Thank you for turning us on, those that are standing by that didn't want to speak, but just thanks for turning us on tonight. Back in your hands, Pastor.
Well, God bless each and every one. I would love to say get out and vote. And those of you who what I really would like to say, I'm not trying to propagate a bill, I'm not being a racist trying to elevate blacks above whites, but I'm trying to elevate blacks to give us a level of self-esteem and teaching us true history and allowing us to know who we are, because European history have made everything from Africa and all dark people lower. They said that their cranium, their skulls were larger than ours, that they are more smarter. Myself, I have a large cranium, but that does not mean I am smarter than anyone. The smartest animal next to human is a monkey, or a monkey, and not an elephant or a whale.
So don't talk about the cranium of a head. So it's different things that was orchestrated by Europeans to make blacks be dumb and that you were subhuman so that they could enslave you and people wouldn't say that you were treating a human being like an animal. So it's not that, but it's the bread. Everything that I'm saying and when I'm on giving true history is to build up our self-esteem of who we are and being proud of who we are and walk with our heads up and thank God for every day that he's given us. Amen. Pastor, I've been running my mouth tonight, and I'm going to let you pray us tonight.
Well, God bless you, Pastor. God bless you. We thank everybody for turning us on tonight. Don't forget to join us tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. The men and women of God come together and discuss issues that are going on. And this week, we're also discussing about peace. So join us tomorrow night on the show. God bless you and thank you. All hearts and minds are clear. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, the great I am, Lord God, in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we come giving you the honor, the glory, and the praise as we bow down through the Holy Spirit and ask you to forgive us for our sins, O Lord, and our transgressions against you, Lord. Father God, that you've seen us do, we ask you to forgive us right now. Lord God, we just thank you, Father God, for life in itself through your Son, Jesus the Christ. Father God, we ask that you comfort and strengthen those that are going through COVID-19 right now, Father God, dealing with this coronavirus, Lord God, those that have lost loved ones, Father God, those that have loved ones in the hospitals right now, ventilators, Father God, we claim healing over their lives in the name of Jesus and in thy will, Lord God. Father God, touch your people, Lord God. Bless the people that are dealing with fires in the states on the West Coast, Father God. Heal them, Lord God. Comfort them and strengthen them, Father God. Father God, take care of your people. Put a hedge of protection around them, Lord God, and be with them, Father God. Father God, continue to comfort and strengthen those that have been dealing with these storms, Lord God. Father God, let your will be done in all of our lives, Father God. We love you, O Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for things that you are doing, things that you are yet to do, Father God. We say thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Continue to cover Dr. Kemp and his family, Father God. Watch over him and keep him, Lord God, is our prayer, Lord God. Take care of our families, Lord God. Bless us all, Lord God. If it be your will, let us wake up and see another day. Lord God, we ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. We pray, and all of God's children say amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen. God bless
love
you, Dr. Kemp.
Love everybody, and you can't do nothing about it.
Hey,
good night.
Amen. We love you, sir. Good night, sir. Have a good night, everybody. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Oh, my people, I love you. We're a family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make through it all. No matter what the cost. We're a family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through the pain, the rain, and all the trouble by ourselves. Oh, oh. People, I love you.
I love you.
We are dying.
We are dying.
They are lying. Hey. We're being shot and hearted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be.
I'm
hey.
Just trying to be.
Great as I can be.
Great as I can be.
Grow with one another. Living happily.
Living happily.
But you hurting me.
But
hey.
You hurting me.
Work for peace.
Why work for peace?
Lion from Zion. I am a king. And you're a queen. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost. We're a family. Yeah, you and me. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering by ourselves.
Why we hurting?
Why we hurting?
Not yet loving.
Not yet loving.
Not yet willing.
Why
to love the world?
Can you feel the grace?
Can you feel?
another day. Take for granted that y'all gave us all new life. But we need to learn to love each other.
Humanity.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful
place for kids to run. Yeah, you and me, hey, we'll make do it all. Know how to walk the call. We're family. Yeah, you and me, hey, we'll make it through the pain and rain and all the trouble by ourselves.
People, I love you.
My people, I love. I love you, my people. I love
my
you,
my people.
I feel you, baby, oh. I feel you, baby, oh. We're
family.
Wow, wow. Yeah, you and me. Hey. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering while I fail.
Been listening to History Talk on Breaking Chains with Dr. LaVert Kemp. Thank you for listening and tune in next week to learn more of who you are. Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. LaVert Kemp, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the Truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.